Church, and welcome once again. It's a cold, Sunday morning. Good to see you out. This morning I want us to open up our Bibles. We just got the Bible. We really need to put the word up there. We need to get somebody who's acquainted with the computer to get that word on the screen. But anyways, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want us to go back and open them up to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. I think I preach out of the book of Genesis more than any other book. But this morning I want us to read chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now we should all know verse 1 already by heart. In the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was and it was light. I want to stop there. Now, most of the time when we look to this passage of scripture, we can focus on, or we a lot of times tend to focus on, the fact that God created the heavens and the earth. But this morning I want to focus not so much on the fact that God created, but on the fact that God said. How did God create? God said, let there be light, or light be is the actual word used. Light be. And the Bible tells us, light was, and God saw. Light be, light saw. He saw light, and said, it is good. Or God saw that it was good. The Bible tells us that God said, those two words are written 10 times in Genesis chapter 1. God said, in verse 6, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, 24, 26, 10 times in total in this first chapter. In fact, he created everything by his spoken word. God said, light be, and light was. And so the word said, what does the word said mean? We so many times in our English language, we use words that maybe aren't quite the same, but the word said in the Hebrew, which is written, is to command or to call forth. God said was to command or to call something forth. Now, tell me, I'm going to get it very simple this morning. Keep it really simple, because we need it simple. Now, you tell me, all of these thousands of years later, is there still light? It says that God commanded light. Then he divided the night from the day. Then he set the sun, the moon, the stars, called that all forth. Tell me, thousands of years later, are the sun and the moon and the stars all still there? Does the sun rise every morning? Yes. Everything we can look at or behold in this natural world was created by God saying something. God said, and it was. And everything, the Bible tells us now, remains in its place. It's all upheld by this same word. God's will, this is one way of looking at it. God's will was spoken out, verbal words, and it became a reality. Okay, I'm trying to paint a picture here for us, in order for us to go on where I want to go today. So God's will was spoken out of his mouth. His words are his will. Sometimes we wonder, what's the will of God? His will is his word. And the point I'm trying to make is this. There is no thing in all of time or space, in heaven or in earth, that is more powerful, if you want to talk about powerful, In fact, we're talking about the Word of God. There is nothing that is more powerful than God's Word. Okay? In fact, it goes beyond power. We use the word power, and somehow we think of the natural things that we think of in power. God's Word is beyond our understanding of the word power. In other words, as I was pondering this yesterday, it was like the Holy Spirit gave me this word. God's word is absolute, even as God is absolute. What does that word mean? What does absolute? Does anybody really understand the word absolute? What does it mean when you say it's absolute? It means it is independent of any other cause. God's word is independent of any other cause. It is in a state unconnected, without restriction or limitations. It is completeness, wholeness in and of itself. God is absolute. He needs nothing. He has need of nothing, no one. He is in a state independent of anything and everything. That is how the Word of God is. In the natural, let's bring it down into what we see here now, everything powerful. You can think of things in your mind. Okay, if somebody were to ask you, what's a powerful thing to you in this world? But all of those things are dependent on different variables. Are they not? You might think that money is powerful. And yes, money can be used as a source of power, but it's dependent on other variables. I mean, the stock market goes up and down, and I mean, there's all these, we all are so connected in this world system. But God's word stands alone. It is absolute. It's not dependent on you or anyone else. And we in the world don't understand that, and that's why we're all in a hype over global warming. God said, let there be light. God created the earth, and the Bible tells us it's a world without end. And so, you know, we're getting all caught up in the world with all these things that are supposedly are coming on the earth. You know what? When God, let's leave this in the hands of God. He created this verse. This verse that we did. In God's word, God said, and he created the heavens, it created the earth that we continue to live in. Everything we have in this world was created independent of you or me, of any man or anything else, and will continue to go on or continue on independent of any man or any help. When are we going to see that and learn that? God's word stands alone. You can argue it, you can refute it, debate it, you can disbelieve it. I mean, how you look at God's word and how you treat it does not change his word or the absolute truth of his word. All you have to do is think and ponder the fact that every morning when you get up, the sun rises at the same time, or I shouldn't say at the same time, but you know what I'm saying. We're in seasons and so on, but you know, you can know in the morning the sun's rising. But we don't stop to think. It's because the Word of God spoke it, and no one and nothing can change it. All things that we trust in, the seasons, the sun, the air we breathe, all of that is upheld and continuing on because of the power of the Word of God. It never passes away. It never loses its power. And yet there are people today that will say, this book, which is God's written word, is old-fashioned. How can we say? It's an absolute. There's no such thing. It has no age. It is. That's why God said, my name is I am. It's not about whether he's this book is old fashioned. He is his word. He's not old fashioned. Neither is this word. And so we as Christians, that's why we study that word, because it is the absolute. It is the truth. And all you have to do is look around you in nature and you will know and be convinced that it is. It doesn't pass away. So God's word is independent. What you think, feel about the world, continues on. The sun just keeps on shining. And John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 says that in the beginning, that's what we were reading. The Bible says in the beginning, God created by speaking. And in John 1, 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that Word that God spoke, light be, is God. Okay, that's why it's absolute. It is God. And when it's so hard for us to understand that. The Word was God. The Word is God. And so when we approach this book, how you approach it, you have the most valuable thing that exists in between these pages. Respect for the Word of God is so vital. Now we know that in the beginning God created Adam and Eve in his likeness and in his image. In other words, he made Adam and Eve speaking spirits. God is a speaking spirit. And God blessed them, saying, you know, we think of God's blessings coming down in actual things. Like I've heard of people saying they saw money floating down from heaven and all kinds of crazy stuff. God doesn't rain money down. God blesses you, speaking, saying, okay? It's God's word. It's light. It's you understand? God blessed them, saying, people. Multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion over all the things that I've created, over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and everything that creepeth. He was given authority over all creeping creeps. You know what I mean? Anything that creeps, all the animals. So God made Adam a speaking spirit with dominion over all of the things in this world that he created. Now, how do you suppose Adam controlled everything? How do you think he reigned? Did he get a big stick? You know, I mean, there was dinosaurs on the earth back then. And, I mean, you think he just, you know, like, oh, let's go, you know? Like, no. I'm sure it wasn't anything like that. He was created in God's likeness, in God's image. How did God do anything? He spoke. And I believe that Adam had dominion through his words. All he had to do was speak to the animals, and the animals obeyed. Wasn't about having a big stick or trying to round them up and training the dogs to, you know, round up the dinosaurs and all of that. You know, no. He spoke. He just simply spoke. In fact, the Bible tells us that he named every animal. Every animal was brought by him. He gave it a name. God didn't name the animals. Adam did. And to this day, the animals have those names. Can you imagine how many thousands of creatures there are in our world and he named them all? And he remembered them. Whoa. His brain was working 10%. They say we only have 1% of our brain that works. Oh, aren't you looking forward to the day where that brain will be open? And we're going to have full capacity of understanding. So Adam reigned on the earth through his words. But God also gave Adam and Eve a free will, which we still have today. You are free to choose what you believe. You might not be free in the natural and certain, you know, the laws restrict you, whatever, but on the inside, no one can tell you what you believe to be the truth. No one. That's your choice and your choice alone. And so God gave us that free will. And that is still a fact today. No one can be forced to believe anything. God will never violate your free will. Never. Hands off. That's what makes you just like God. Did you know God is a free will? God said to his man, all of the trees you may freely eat, when he put him in the garden. That's where his free will was exercised. But of the one tree, don't eat it. God said, in the day that you eat of that tree, knowledge of good and evil, you will die. In other words, in dying, you shall die. That's what the scripture actually says. So in dying, meaning inside, you are spiritually dead, and that results in in dying, you will die. You know, Adam lived to be 939 years old. It was just shy of 1,000 years. And back in the day, most of the patriarchs, most people did live 900 plus years. You know, in the day, people argue, well, he didn't die in that day. Well, the Bible tells us that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years. None of them lived past 1,000 years. And that's how we know which day we're in today. Because God looks at days in sequences of 1,000 years. And right now in our timeline, we're in the 7th day. Or actually, the 3rd day, which is when Jesus rose from the dead. We know his return is imminent. It could happen any time because of the timeline. Day, the hour, I'm not saying anything, but we know the seasons. We talked about that last week, where it says, as you see the day approaching, gather together. Well, if we don't know the time, the hour, the season, how could we know? But God says you will. Why? Because according to his word, 1,000 years is as a day, and one day is as 1,000 years unto the So God created Adam and Eve with the free will. He said to them, of all the trees in the garden you may eat, but of one tree you may not eat. If you eat of that tree, you will die. Did Adam eat? Yes. And death came into the earth through that one man's sin. Death. Is death still prevalent today? Are those words still in effect today? Yes, it's all around us. We can know one thing for sure, that if Jesus tarries, we're all going to die. We're all going to have to lay down this body. We don't doubt that. That is very evident. Death is very evident. It's all around us. So that word that God spoke to Adam 6,000 years ago or whatever it was is still in effect today. Why? Because God's word is it never passes away. It does not pass away. This death is very real on the earth today. It's all around us. So we can see, it's safe to say that God's word is important to us. And it's silly to say that it is not relevant to us today. It's foolish. The man who pushes it aside and says, you know, why would I want to read that? It is very relevant. He created you. You're connected to God, whether you like it or not. You can, like I say, you can argue that word, you can refute it, you can choose to disbelieve it, but it is the truth. So God's word is important. These words were spoken thousands of years ago. Still, no one today can stop death. We've tried. I mean, we have tried. We've tried to stop this thing called death. Man cannot. You know why? Because you're up against God's word. If God said something, you ain't going to change it. That's what I'm trying to get across to us today. If God said it, you're not going to change it. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word will never pass away because God is his word. And if the word of God fails, then God has fallen from the story. God no longer is. I'm trying to show us the integrity, even the awe of God's word. And when you've got that, you've got all wisdom. When you approach the word of God as God, now you're wise, the Bible tells us. That's what the fear of the Lord is, the fear of God. It's like, it's not being scared. It's like, whoa, this word is untouchable. It's irrefutable. It is forever. And we would be wise to realize that in light of the natural world, which was made from the Word of God, can't even compare to the power of the Word of God. Do you understand? I'm trying to make light of our circumstances in comparison to the Word of God. Because many times our whole lives are controlled by our circumstances. If our circumstances are bad, we're down. You know, if the world around us or maybe in our lives or whatever's going on, if we feel threatened in any way or under any darkness, that becomes so real to us, it consumes us. But I want us to be consumed with God's word. All you got to do is remind yourself, just look up at the sun every day. I'm using examples that we can all understand, which like the sun and the seasons and death. Those are things we see all the time. We're not arguing with them. But you've got to understand, they were all spoken by the Word of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man's sin, death entered into. Who's the one man? Adam. And we have made so much of what Adam has done. You know, it's taken over. It is the life of this world, the curse. By one man, sin entered into this world, and death came in by sin, or the curse of death. Now, when I say death, I'm not just talking about you laying down your body and dying. I'm talking about the curse that is in this world where everything is passing away. Grass, the flowers, when everything has a life stage, but then it starts to go down. That's the curse that's not. God never intended, never. He never intended for you to pass away from your physical body. Death, the Bible tells us, is an enemy of God. You know, we think, many times people die, or we see children die prematurely, and we wonder, gee, why God? As if God had something to do with it. Death is an enemy of God. In God is life. He has no death. But man, by choosing from that tree, brought death in. The opposite of life is death. And God had to allow man to go through it. Why? Because he gave man freedom. That was the choice Adam made. And you know, the funny thing is today, let's flip this around. God said back then, thou may eat freely of all the trees but one. Today, guess what the new rule is? There's many, many things we can eat from in this life, but there's only one that's going to bring life. There's only one tree now in the new covenant that we can eat. What is that tree? It's the tree that Jesus hung on. It's the only thing that's going to bring life. Back then, then there was one tree that brought death. Today, there's one tree that brings life. And that is Jesus. So by one man, Adam, sin entered into this world, and death through sin. So then, death passed upon all men. Not one of us is exempt from it. Any more than any one of us is exempt from the sun shining every day. I mean, it's part, it is life. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't stop the sun from rising. Nor can you stop death from passing upon you. It's just, we're all born into it because of Adam. And once we realize that, we think, oh, we're all in the same shoes. And there's only one answer, and that's the tree of life. That's Jesus. He's the only one that can deliver us from the sin that Adam committed. The reality of that sin that Adam committed cannot be hidden. It confronts us every day. In the light of the curse that we see all around us. What one man's sin did. It's amazing. One man's sin brought in all of this. And you know, if we're going to get angry at anybody when we see things happen on the world in the world that are just horrible, make your heart cry, don't blame God. Blame Adam. Actually, blame Satan. He's to blame. He's the one who tempted Adam and got him to eat. It's not God. It's the enemy. It's his arch enemy. So then, if we can see and believe and know that what Adam's sin did is very real, and we're so focused on all the evil in the world and the curse and the darkness, and none of us is going to deny it. In fact, we're so programmed to speak it negative. How is it that we do not see what Jesus did? How is it that what Jesus did is lesser, who is the living word? You see, God spoke that word. That word is absolute. That word does not pass away. And the Bible says, and he sent his son, the word of God, and it became flesh. God's word, that absolute, put on a flesh body. Came down and dwelt among us. It says we beheld, as it were, the only glory, the glory of the only begotten of God. Jesus became flesh. Jesus is the living word. What was Jesus before he was Jesus? And you know what? He had to give something up. He had to become man in order to save you, in order to give you a future and a hope. I can't wrap my brain around what he used to be. But I know he used to be something different until the Word of God put on flesh. And forever, Jesus Christ is a man seated at the right hand of God. He's all man, but he's all God. And he was right there for you. So we do not see, or we fail to see, the grace that the second Adam did to set us free from what the first Adam did. What the first Adam did is far more real to us. Why? Because we see it every day. We see it every day. We see the curse around us. We see death, destruction. We see all kinds of horror. But we very seldom see what Jesus did. We can say, oh, glory to God. But you know, as Christians, we ought to. We ought to. Jesus is called the second Adam. The first Adam brought in sin and the curse. The second Adam, who is Jesus, brought in life and the blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 45, if you don't believe me, it says, so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam a quickening spirit. Who is the last Adam? Jesus. In other words, a quickening spirit. Quickening word means bringing back. We died in Adam. We were separated from God. We were controlled by death. You had no choice. You could not get out from under it. Now we have been brought back to life. God delivered us from the first Adam and his sin. How? By sending his son Jesus, who was the living word, who put on a flesh body. Why? Why did he need that flesh body? So that he could die. There was no other way. There was no man in this world that was sinless that could have died. Only God was Jesus himself. And that same word, whom is Jesus, that upholds all the things in the universe, the sun, the stars, the everything that we see, came down to the earth and put on this flesh body, and then he tasted death for every man. He died your death. You see, God can't change his word. That's what I'm trying to say. What God said in the beginning to Adam is eternal. And we were under that curse of death because of God's words and because Adam failed. So God just couldn't. Remember we talked about that last week about God's righteousness. God cannot just swish this thing under the rug and say it never happened. Say, oh, well, you know, we'll forget it. No, because then God wouldn't be just. God, that's one thing you can bank on. God's word is God's word. It'll never change. He will do what he says, and he says what he'll do. And you can take that to the bank. It is the most dependent, it is the most thing we should have the most confidence in all of this universe. And so he couldn't just, because that's his righteousness on the line. He couldn't. So what did he do? Instead of ignoring the word or his own word, he put us to death and he made us free from that. Do you understand? That's why we had to die in Christ. So that we're raised to a new life. We're raised free from all that now. Why? Because Jesus paid off the price. We all deserve to die because the Bible says all of us have sinned. And so, you know, we were born into the Adam, to sin of Adam, meaning we had sin nature, the propensity to sin. Sure, a newborn baby is innocent. And a one-year-old. You know what? But there comes a time in our lives where each one of us understands the difference between right and wrong. And we have to choose wrong. We all do. Good, because it's interesting. We can see it in our little children, for goodness sakes. You know, and it starts young. Mom says, don't touch that. And guess what? The first thing they do when mom's back is turned is they touch that. Now, that's the beginning. And you wonder, what the heck? I'm telling you, that is the nature of Adam that's passed down into every person. You're not perfect. There is not one of us that's any better than the other. We were all born from the same stuff. And so for us to sit back and criticize one another, point fingers at one another, it's like, it's funny. It's really funny. Stop that. We're all in the same shoes. We ought to help each other instead of criticize each other. We're all born into Adam's sin. We all need Jesus to get us out of it. Okay, so Jesus comes down, and by dying our death, taking all the pain and the punishment that our sins deserved, all of those curses that belong to our lives, he totally took away, and he set us free from it. Okay, so Jesus himself became the curse. The Bible says, Galatians 3:13, it is written, anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. Jesus hung on the tree, and he became the curse that we were supposed to have in our life. He suffered it. Why? To set us free. And he didn't stop until he said, finished. When he said, finished, and hung his head. That moment. An earthquake, we know all kinds of things. And there was people standing by looking up at the cross as the earth rumbled and the graves, imagine the graves opened up. People came out of the graves. What would you think? Many of them stood there after they had crucified him, mocked him, spit on him, ridiculed him. But you be the Son of God, come on down off that cross. And when that all started happening, it says they went like this and said, of a truth, this is the Son of God. They knew who he was in that moment. So Jesus did this for every man, woman, and child. But now we've got a choice again. God says to us now, okay, I've set it straight. I've placed every man, woman, and child into the death of Jesus to release you from the curse of the sin that was keeping you from me and from blessing and from life. I set before you once again, God says in the New Testament, life and death. Choose life. Jesus Christ is the only life. He's the only one that died for you. It's interesting. Megan and I were talking the other day on the phone. That was a couple weeks ago. And I said, it's really interesting. Even people who are different religions and have different gods, you know, like there's Allah, Muhammad, there's all the different gods in the world. And it's interesting. When you put the squeeze on in this world, when they're up against a hard place, or if there is an emergency that suddenly hits them, what's the first name that's going to come flying out of their mouth? It isn't going to be Allah or Muhammad. It's going to be Jesus. Or if you get angry, something really terrible happens, and what's one of the first curse words that comes out of your mouth? You never curse with Buddha's name. Anybody heard anybody cursing with Buddha's name? Or Muhammad? No, it's always Jesus, always. So that tells me that subconsciously, inside, on the inside of each and every one of us, we know that Jesus is God. We might not admit it. We might not, you know, want to go there and think that we don't believe it. But inside, we know it's true. And that's why when our spirits, when subconscious, we will swear. We will use the name of Jesus. Not, isn't that funny? We don't use the name of Buddha when we swear. Think about that. So that tells us that each one of us knows, even in our hearts, that Jesus is God. So now God puts this decision before us again. Choose life. The moment you choose that life, who is Jesus, you are immediately taken out from under that dominion of darkness. Immediately. You might not look any different. Your circumstances may not change, but I guarantee you, the Word of God says you are changed. Your life is changed. You are no longer who you used to be. God has now recreated you. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And all the things that are about you are of God. The old has passed away. You are no longer that person. You become a brand new creation. You're in the world, but you are no longer of the world. You now belong to a heavenly kingdom. Even though you have your life here on the earth, you've been placed into the kingdom of God. You are now a child of God. And the Bible tells us, and remember, God's word cannot be broken. And it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It is what it is. The Bible tells us that our God has washed away all our sins, our whole lifetime of sins, by the blood of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that God will never impute sin to you again. Sin is done. And you immediately become the righteousness of God. Not just righteous as a person, the righteousness of God. Did you know that his word and his integrity to his word and the power of that word is God's righteousness? That righteousness has been credited to you. You have no idea how righteous you are until you really start pondering the word of God and God's righteousness. Because the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And the righteous and the power of that righteousness in you is the power that upholds God's word. Because God's word never fails, it's because God is righteous. That same righteousness is, the Bible calls it power. We're trying to wrap our brains around all this. That is in you, and that is the power. You have so much power on the inside of you, you have no idea what you are, a walking bomb. If you only knew it. So the power of the righteousness that's in you is the power that upholds all things by God's word. It's what makes God's word irrefutable, unchangeable, and eternal. Because that righteousness in you is eternal. You can never lose it. You can never sin your way out of it any more than you could try to fix death under the old, under Adam. You can't. Death, why? Because God's word said it. So I'm trying to get us to see the confidence that you and I can have in the word of God above all else. I don't care what's going on in your life. That word is higher. It is irrefutable. It'll change not. So whatever God's word tells you today, you can know you can trust it. I don't care what's going on in your life. Remember the centurion when his servant was lying home, sick with the palsy, ready to die? And he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, my servant is sick. Come and heal him. And Jesus said, okay, I'm going to come. Wow, Jesus himself coming to your house. And then the servant said, no, I'm not worthy that you come to my house. Just speak the word. And my servant. And Jesus like, whoa. I haven't seen such faith in all of Israel, from the time way back from the patriarchs from way long ago. Jesus had never seen faith like that. Like, just speak the word, God. That's all I need. And that's what pleases the Lord. When you go to him and say, Lord, I got your word on it. You see, when you magnify God's word, who is Jesus? Because he's the living word, right? He came down in the flesh. We know that there's the spoken word. That was God the Father speaking. Then Jesus came. Now we call that the living word. But guess what? Now what do we have today? The written word. And all three are just as, one is the same as the other. They're just as powerful. We sometimes think, well, it's just words on a page. No. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. We have no idea the power of this word, but it is the word that created everything we see. And so we need to approach this word with respect, with honor, and knowing, whoa, if God's word said it, there's nothing I can do to change it. And so because in the new covenant now, we've been given the word of his grace. You see, under the old covenant, it was all about you shall, you shall, you shall. The blessing and the righteousness was based on what you did. If you keep the law, if you obey, then God will bless you. That's all been done away. Why did God even give the law? Because before the law, you see, the law was only given when Moses came on the scene, which was thousands of years after Adam sinned. The Bible tells us sin was in the world even then. But there was no law, so there's no transgression of it, right? In other words, if you're driving down the highway and you're hitting 130, but there's no speed limit, there's no law telling you you can't, did you break the law? You know, and so there's no law given. So mankind, from the beginning, had no law. And so guess what? They didn't have a clue. They thought they were so righteous, so good. They didn't have a clue what sin even was. And so they didn't know they were really sinning. And so they were as evil can become. And God thought to himself, well, you know, if man doesn't think he's evil, then how is it that Jesus Christ is going to save them? Because they're going to think they don't need a savior. You see, he had to give the law. The Bible tells us that the law entered so that the sin might abound. That means increase. Did you know that if you're under the law, the Ten Commandments, that sin is increasing in your life? Did you know that? Most people think it'll take sin away. No. The Bible says the law entered so sin would increase. Why did God want sin to increase? So that mankind finally got to the place where he thought, I can't do it anymore. I need help. And he's ready to receive the help that's been there since the beginning, before the foundation began. But you see, God had to take man through a whole series of events to show us that we can't keep it, that we need a savior, and that death is real, and it's pardon my expression, it sucks. Man didn't know. And so by the law entering, man was able to see finally what sin really was. The fact that, ha, oh, I can it's impossible. And then Jesus came. And now that Jesus is raised from the dead, the Bible tells us he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Romans 6, this is very important for us to understand this morning. For in that he died unto sin once. He died unto sin once, and we died in him. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, what does likewise mean? In the same manner, you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So how did Jesus reckon it? How did Jesus die to sin? Because it says in the same manner, you die to sin. So how is Jesus dead to sin? Is he dead to the temptation? Did Jesus sweat and pray and, oh God, I don't want to sin? No, the Bible says he did no sin. He had no sin. Did no sin. You know why? Jesus was not born into the nature of Adam, which was the propensity to sin. Jesus didn't have that. There was nothing in him that desired sin. So he never did a sin, ever. He was sinless, spotless, pure. And so for the Bible to tell us that he died unto sin, we get the idea that we got to die to the flesh. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna put my flesh down. No more sinning. And the harder you try, the worse it gets. Come on, it's the truth. No, we die, likewise, reckon yourself. Jesus died unto the imputation and the punishment and the pain and the curse that sin brought into his body. It's done. In other words, I don't ever have to do this again. Likewise, you consider yourself to be dead to the imputation of sin, to the pain and the punishment of it. When you get that finally, you realize that you really are free. I am dead to it, even in this dead body, because your body still hasn't been redeemed. That's important. So reckon yourselves indeed to be dead unto sin, even as Jesus is. So the next time you do something wrong, and you know how it is, as soon as you do something wrong, you kind of have an expectancy of bad. Right? I mean, you think you got to pay for your sins. It's just something on the inside of us, your conscience going, someone's got to pay. Someone's got to pay. It's true. That's how we live. Now you know someone already paid. I'm free from that. I am free from that. But it takes you to take that. You see, my whole point is under the old covenant, you were righteous by your efforts, by what you did. In other words, you did good, you got good. But in the new covenant, your righteousness and your blessing in the life you have no longer depends on what you do, on you keeping the law, keeping yourself free from sinning. But it is dependent on him. According to the word of God, this is the truth, and this is the grace. We talk about grace. Do you understand what grace is? Grace is a person. Do good, get good is how it used to be. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, by one man's sin, death reigned. By one man's sin, death reigned. Who's the one man? Adam. Much more. Look at the word. Much more. Those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life by Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just repeat this. I've got lots of notes, Cam's already showing me. I've only got a few minutes. But I want to say this. Listen carefully. It says clearly, death reigns through sin. Tell me very quickly, what's reigning? Death through sin. Death. That's what's reigning on the earth right now. Death. Men cannot escape it. It's reigning. In our bodies, it's reigning. The body is breaking down as we age. Okay, in the natural, there is nothing men can do to stop it. I mean, we can maybe prolong with the different things we put on the outside of the body, and maybe the things we eat. You know, we can extend it a little longer, but eventually, the death takes over. Right? I mean, we're not arguing that. So, death reigns. What does the word reign mean? It has the power. When you're reigning, you have the authority. So death has authority over us. How? Through sin. But much more they who receive the gift of righteousness will reign. Who's reigning? Okay, if death reigns because of sin, it says much more they who receive the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace will reign. Who's reigning now? So we get this idea that because Jesus Christ died out for us, that he's reigning. And he is, but he's reigning through you. So we wonder why God isn't answering our prayers. God, I know I'm a child of yours. Your Bible, why? God, we go to God all the time. We ought to know that God has given you the power to reign. What are you doing with it? And that's what I've been teaching the whole year. Wake up to your righteousness. Those who receive the gift of righteousness, it's a gift. If you think you can earn it, it's not a gift. Then you don't have it. It's by freely saying, Lord, I've sinned, fallen short of the glory, probably in ways I don't even know, but you've promised me that your blood has washed away all my sin and made me righteous as Jesus himself. And that is the authority he's given us. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that Ephesians chapter, it is in chapter 1, I believe, that Jesus, whom God raised from the dead, high above all principality, power, might, dominion, and all authority that is in this world, and then he has made him to be the head over all things to the church. You see, Jesus didn't need authority over the devil. He didn't need authority over death. He was never under it. He came down, and when he did for you. And so when he left, he gave it back to you and said, okay, I've taken you out from underneath the powers of darkness. I've destroyed the enemy in your life through my death, and now you have me. You shall reign in life through the righteousness which I gave you through the shedding of my blood. So we wonder why our prayers aren't being answered. You know, we look to God and we say, God, so we're waiting for God to do something. And I'm telling you, God's done it. It's finished. He's given that authority back to you. And you can know that when you get that word of God, because that's God's way. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. Even as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, waters the earth, that it might bring forth seed for the sower, bread for the eater. So shall my word be, it says, Isaiah 55, by the way, I'm quoting. So shall my word be. It will not return unto me void. In other words, when you start speaking, remember I said we're made in God's image. Under the law, it was all about what we do. Romans chapter 10, it says that those who are under the law will live by the law. But the righteousness which is of your faith, in other words, we just believe that Jesus did it. The righteousness which is of faith, Romans chapter 10, it says, speaketh. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh. You're under the law, you're working, you're doing, trying to be good. Keep the commandments. Don't steal, don't lie, do not covet. Love the Lord. It's all about what you do. But in the new covenant, which is the word of his grace, which is the gospel message of Jesus Christ and his goodness and what he did for us. Righteousness, the righteousness which is of your faith now speaks. We are speaking spirits. We have the same, we now have authority the same way Adam. Call those things that be not as they are. Get the word of God, the word of grace. He who receives an abundance of grace. What is this grace? It's the word of God now that was spoken about you. By his stripes, Megan, you are healed. That's grace. Okay? He has delivered you from death. That's the word of grace. In him we are prosperous. That's the word of grace. He who receives an abundance of grace. So let me ask you, how can we be receiving an abundance of grace if we're not receiving an abundance of the word of grace? Because it's by his word. always by his word. Don't ever think it's about anything you can do. We take the word of God. It is, the Bible says, the weapons of your warfare are carnal. I mean, it's not of this world. It's of the next world. It is your weapons. You have the word of God, which no man, no demon, nothing can change. You get a hold of that word and you start speaking it out in authority over your life, I tell you, guarantee you will change. And that's why as Christians, we are encouraged all the time to stay in this word. Attend to my word. Attend to it. It is life and health. So it's not a matter of us doing, reading this word out of obedience because it's a religious thing to do. This word is so don't doubt God. If he said you are righteous, if you can stand up, if you can proclaim it boldly, knowing that no devil, no person, no one can repeat that word. Why? Because God said it is so. You can say it is so. You get that word in your mouth. I tell you, it is time to stand up and to speak. You know, it's funny. I always know that what's going on in the world is exactly the opposite of what's going on. Because we are sincere. This is walking. When you walk with God's word, when you live according, when you come into agreement with what God says, you're walking in the Spirit. In the world, of course, people come into agreement with what the world is telling them. Oh, it's dark, it's, you know, this, it's that. But we are to look beyond the world and to look what God's word says. That's where we're to live, a higher level. But my point is, if you look in the world, you always know where you're at and what God is doing. And the Bible says that he's bringing all enemies under. Well, how do you think the enemies are going to be brought under? Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. We're his body on the earth. And if the enemies are going to be brought under the feet of Jesus, that means that before he comes back, they're going to be under our feet. And I believe we're living in a time, this day and this age, and we wonder, what is God doing in the Spirit? Because when you look around what's happening in the world, wow, you know, take a total turn to the opposite. God is doing something as wonderful in the church, in you and I, as what's happening in the world. And right now, there's this huge thing going on with cancel culture and censorship and freedom of speech. You know, like it's, you notice, I don't know if you guys listen to the news, but they're trying to just, if you don't agree with their agenda and their way of thinking, they cancel you. I mean, they'll cut you off, they'll do it. You'll be called a racist, and people are losing their jobs, all because of what they think. As if the devil thinks that he can change our free will. But it's interesting to see what's happening in the world with just the speech. Guess what God said? He released, I believe, the Holy Spirit into our lives to show us, to lead us, to begin to speak. When God spoke, light be. Spirit is holding. Guess how light came to be. Spirit confirms the word. He doesn't confirm you. He confirms the word. He confirms the word of Jesus. That's what he's there for. Believe this is the year of confirming. Amen. I believe God is beginning to confirm his word in such a measure that we're all going to just be amazed. You need to speak. Don't look to God and say, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? Take the authority. God has given it to you. That's why we're so important to know you are righteous every day. Tell yourself that.